Welcome to the Conquer Your Draft podcast, where fantasy champions are made. Welcome back to the Conquer Your Draft fantasy football podcast. I'm Josh, and with me as always is Mike. How you doing, Mike?
You know, I'm rolling. I'm rolling in off-season mode.
Yeah.
The rest finally begins for me. I'm taking a mental break for about 72 hours, and then I'm right back into research mode.
So you have been researching, you're taking a 72-hour break, and you're going back?
That's right. We're on the cusp of my 72-hour break after this podcast, and I, of course, edit it and get it posted and all that. I will be on a 72-hour break from my research, and then I'll be coming right back to it. Part of my new strategy this year.
Just rest, repeat?
Yeah,
how many breaks are there?
Well, how many several. Breaks are there? I mean, I'm not going to give away any secrets here, right? You're a competitor. As much as we have lots of opportunities to collaborate on a show together, you are my number one competitor. I'm not going to give you any of my secrets here.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, I'll give you a secret for free. Champions never rest.
No, forget it. You know what my biggest issue was last year? Overthinking.
Well, you did do a darkness retreat, so.
My hand. I overplayed my hand last year. I had a pretty solid team. I tried to bulk up for the playoffs, and I overplayed. I overthought too many decisions, made a lot of bad mistakes that came back and haunted me. So I'm trying a bit of a different approach this year. And I honestly smell a championship. Like it's starting to feel like this is going to be my year. So I'm very excited about that.
You know, I think it all boils down to your darkness retreat with Aaron Rodgers. So
it was, yeah, I mean, that obviously didn't work. Both nope. Aaron Rodgers and I had, that didn't work.
Disappointing years to say the least.
Yeah, he was with Blue of Earth. I've been trying to be with Blue of Earth. So yeah, there's a lot of comparables.
Well, I wish you all the best. Maybe you can do better than the first round of the playoffs this year with your 72-hour breaks, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, best team in the regular season as well.
Yep.
You know, in everywhere else other than North America, that would have gotten me a championship.
Maybe, but
playoffs are a very North American thing. Anywhere else, I won the league essentially last year. So just something to keep in mind.
Unfortunately, the sport that ours is based off of is a North American sport, and we live in North America. So well, you got a lot going against you.
Maybe I'm going to move. Maybe I'm going to move to Europe. Okay. How about that? There you go.
I'm pretty sure it's still, you're going to do European fantasy football, like what we would call soccer.
Precisely, yes.
Okay.
Precisely. And then maybe then I'll be enough. Maybe then I'll finally be enough.
Then you can have a championship under your belt.
That's right. I have won a championship in fantasy before.
That was pre Josh joining the league, though. So it doesn't
That would be before what we would call the modern era. Yes, that was the previous rendition, but it was essentially the same league with a lot of the same people in it. And I did win a championship back in high school. So,
yeah, I mean, that's like you were playing like Pee Wee fantasy football. And now you're in like the pros. So
except when they scout people, what's one of the things they say? Oh, proven winner, won at different levels. I won at the young levels.
Well, yeah, you won at a level, not the
two times in a row, I made it to the Fantasy Football League Championship, two seasons in a row, best regular season record last year. I am a proven winner. I have a better track record than the Cowboys do.
You are the Kirk Cousins of our league.
I am not the Kirk Cousins.
You do great in the regular season, and then in the playoffs, it all just goes to hell.
That was only last year. You can't. My playoff performances the previous 2 years were fantastic, and I made it to the Final Four the year previous to that. I've won. Unlike the Dallas Cowboys and Kirk Cousins, I've won in the playoffs. Well, no, I have series wins under my belt.
But you haven't won the championship though. I'm pretty sure Kirk Cousins has won a playoff game.
You know, last time I checked, they only crown one champion a year. Last time.
And it's been me for the last 3 years.
Yeah, well, that's about to end. Okay? I'm gonna punch you out. I don't care where you are right now. I'm going to come find you, and I'm going to punch you right in your face. That's what I'm going to do.
That's all right. A good smack every now and then keeps you fresh, you know?
Let's just get going on this before I literally, in fear, break all of the podcasting equipment.
All right. Well, we can dive into some news. A lot of wide receivers moving around since we last recorded. So the Jacksonville Jaguars have released wide receiver Zay Jones. And from what I read, that was based off of how their draft went. So,
okay.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm thinking of the wrong guy, but I'm pretty sure that, unless it was somebody else, but I'm pretty sure they basically like made an announcement. I was like, yeah, we're just really happy with how our draft went. So we don't need him. Which sucks to be Zay Jones, I guess.
So they're down Jones and they're down Calvin Ridley. And I know we're not talking about the Jags this week, but right now the receiving core, they've got Christian Kirk, right? He would be one. Is he one? And then
I would say probably, yeah.
Sorry, who else they have? So they got their rookie.
I'm just pulling them up here now.
Yeah, pull up the list, because I might be miscounting here. Okay, right. They added Gabe Davis.
And then the rookie.
The rookie, which is now three.
Brian Thomas Jr., yeah.
They've replaced Zay Jones and Calvin Ridley with Gabe Davis and what's his name? Brian Thompson Jr.?
Yeah. Okay. Brian Thomas.
So Brian Thomas Jr. and Gabe Davis are in. Calvin Ridley and Zay Jones are out. And Christian Kirk is still there.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at some of the contract details. So he was due, I think, he was going to count $10.8 million against the salary cap. And they basically said he would be their fourth string receiver. So
they feel the rookie's going to play above him. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a little bit more sense, especially that money wise, because if that money wasn't there, I would say why not have all four of them? But it makes sense if they were worried about a hit there to the salary cap.
Yeah. Now they still have to eat $6.5 million. So they're really only saving $4 million. But I mean, that gives them an extra $4 million to do whatever they want with, I guess, especially knowing that he's not going to be on the field that often. So why bother? $4 million is better than no million.
Yeah.
Miami Dolphins signed wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. So remains to be seen if Odell Beckham has anything left in the tank. If he can contribute. I imagine he would be the third. Like, I don't see him usurping Waddle by any means. And obviously not going to usurp Tyreek Hill. Like, Tyreek Hill will be one. I would assume Waddle's still number two. And then Beckham can finish out as their third option, I guess.
Yeah, like he's sort of a veteran third that you have in there.
Who else did they have, really? Like, yeah, they didn't really have a third guy, I guess. Like, they had Braxton Berrios last year. But it was essentially Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and then the running backs.
And then the running backs, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is a depth move that adds another piece to it. I don't really know if it moves the needle for fantasy. Like, I'm not sitting here saying Waddle or Hill are going to suddenly have less receptions. Like, I feel like the three or four guys they rotated for the Miami Dolphins to be like the third or fourth receiver will now just become one person.
Yeah, he'll just scoop up their targets, essentially.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see anything else changing either. Well, Mike, your Buffalo Bills decided to bring in a wide receiver, signed
they
a wide receiver.
Big splash.
Big signing of wide receiver Chase Claypool, who at one point was referred to as Mapletron, I believe, back in his Pittsburgh Steelers days.
Yeah, Canadian.
And yeah, he is Canadian. He's you know, he's I'm just trying to think of a positive here for Buffalo.
I mean, let's call it what it is. It's a signing to get a receiver in the room. It's a body. They need some bodies. They need some options. He's a body.
He's an option.
He's cheap.
Yeah. He's actually, I'm just looking at Buffalo's depth chart right now, and he's not even showing as one of their top three. They've got their rookie, Curtis Samuel, and Khalil Shakir as their top three currently.
It's not looking great. I saw, and this is what I think is crazy about NFL fantasy fans and just the intelligence levels of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing out there Josh Allen as the number one ranked quarterback going into the fantasy football season next year.
I can understand that.
I can't at all. He has nothing. He has no weapon. Well, one, he's not Patrick Mahomes, so he can't do something with nothing. And two, Patrick Mahomes has Travis Kelce. Josh Allen will hurt you with legs. Totally agree with that. Absolutely. That'll happen. Who's he throwing the ball to that you're being like, oh yeah, like big, big game plays, big yards, lots of touchdowns. Who?
Well, I mean, he didn't really have anyone last year because him and Stephon Diggs. Yeah, but they weren't on the same page is what I was going to say.
No, but you didn't know that. Going into the season, though, like you're looking at it being like how things went during the year. Going into the season, that was a dynamic duo.
Yeah. I'm just going to look. Like, I mean, he's been the QB1 or the QB2 for the past 3 years.
And he's had Stephon Diggs the entire time, plus Gabe Davis, but plus other players. Like, he's had pieces that aren't just nothing. And a team that was really adverse to running the ball, which I do think is something they're going to change.
I mean, it's possible, but I mean, at the end of the day, he is still a running quarterback. So that is worth something for fantasy. And if he's going to be a good enough quarterback to be in the same conversation as Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, then he has to be able to get it done with whoever.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that statement. I just don't agree that that's where he is right now. Top five QB, I definitely would still put him in there. I wouldn't be drafting him number one over several people we're going to talk about today. So,
okay.
But if you want to, hey, I think you should take Josh Allen as a high pick in this coming draft for fantasy. I think that would be great for you.
You know, I'm not really a early QB kind of guy.
No, you're not.
But hey, maybe if the value's there, you know, if he drops a little because everybody else is scared and I get him a little later, then hey.
No one else will be scared. People are not.
No.
They have a weird recency bias that like ignores facts. So we'll just leave it at that.
The Tennessee Titans are signing wide receiver Tyler Boyd to a 1-year deal worth up to $4.5 million. So he was with the Bengals as their third string wide receiver, and now he's basically going to Tennessee to be their third string. They didn't like what they saw with Treylon Burks, I'm guessing, based on this move. They brought in Calvin Ridley, so now they've got Hopkins, Ridley, and Boyd as their top three. Burks probably not going to be worthwhile for fantasy any longer unless there's an injury.
Yeah, and I think, I'm the more I'm looking at what the Titans have been doing, the more I'm looking at them being like, I like on paper some of these transactions. We'll see how it all comes together, but I think Tyler Boyd is, I've always said this, he's like that prototypical what you need number three receiver who's just reliable, who's going to catch the ball, who if everyone else is covered, he's a good option. I still think he's like an okay flex bench player in fantasy. So I think the Titans are clearly, for their young quarterback, trying to add some veteran presence around him.
Yeah, they're just trying to get him some help. And now we've seen Tyler Boyd as the third option do well, but that was with Joe Burrow throwing him the ball. So it remains to be seen what happens with Will Levis being the one throwing the ball. You know, can he replicate that and just be a serviceable spot start? Because if you're the third option with a great passing offense and great QB, that's worthwhile. If you're the third option on a bad passing offense with a bad QB, that means nothing. So that's going to have to be a wait and see what happens with Will Levis and how their offense runs. But I agree with you. I like what they're doing to try to build him up. Basically they're saying, you know, here are all your weapons. If you can't make this happen, you're probably done. That's the way I'm seeing it, at least.
Which is weird for a guy going into his second year.
Yeah.
We'll give you a year, which is this year, and like not a full year, which was last year. And yeah. If you don't impress us, that's it. We're moving on. Which is funny because then you get other quarterbacks who just like sit on teams forever and they never give up on them.
Until their fifth year, and then it's like, okay, we can now cut you and be done.
Yes, yes. Which that to me that makes more sense. Giving a young player 4 to 5 years is a better sample size. 2 is not an appropriate sample size of anything. Maybe a 4.
I think it's just the way like the NFL, like the trend in the NFL is now. Like they want those day one lights out, like CJ Stroud starters. You know, even though like all the greats that we've had in recent memory, like none of them were day one starters. Like
that's
Patrick
what I'm
Mahomes,
about.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes sat a year. Josh Allen, I don't know. I never really followed Josh Allen because he was a Buffalo Bill, and that was pre really diving deep into fantasy. But did he sit behind anyone, or did it just take him a couple years before he really hit the ground?
He didn't sit, but it took him a couple years. Like he,
yeah, because he had like a weird throwing motion, like that had to get fixed,
right.
And
he
yeah.
had an okay rookie season, but he wasn't lights out.
Right. Okay. So he was a bit of a they had to invest some time in him, and that paid
that's
off.
Right. That's right.
Tom Brady, the only reason he ever even started a game was because the guy in front of him got brutally injured. Just trying to think any other ones that leap to mind.
That's what I'm talking about. This weird recency bias, sometimes it just seems coaching or decisions people make, they're just like, we will arbitrarily decide on our own what to follow and what not to follow. Like sometimes they're recency bias and sometimes they ignore recent stuff. Like again, everything around the Dallas Cowboys is just basically them ignoring their own everything. Like everyone's still like, Dak Prescott, amazing quarterback, yeah, terrible, can't do anything, like we'll never win them a championship, so obvious to me, but like so blatantly, like everyone's just like, no, we choose certain players. If you're lucky enough to be a player that someone likes or just feels is going to work, blinders over top, they're like, nope, this player's going to work, doesn't matter, 100% it's going to work. And then if you're not that lucky, you're like, you got a year, maybe two. And otherwise, we're done with you, even though you just brought up most of the quarterbacks who are successful spend time to marinate and grow. So to me, I would think the Titans would just be like, hey, if you believe in this guy, give him a couple years. But again, the problem is coaches don't have a couple years. They get fired so quickly, right?
I think that's part of it. Yeah. I think the pressure for them, like on their job, once things start going sideways, the fans start saying, well, we want our rookie in. Coach is probably saying, well, rookie's not ready, but they kind of bow to the pressure of the masses. Yeah. And
which makes you a bad coach and a bad leader, basically.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Jordan Love was another example.
That's a really good example.
He sat behind Aaron Rodgers for, I think, 2 years, didn't he?
It was 2 years.
Started last year.
Yeah. And then he really was the second half of the season that he really, I think, changed his narrative. And
a little bit of growing pains, which is normal.
Yeah. So now he's coming into this year and there's higher expectations, but he's earned it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The New York Giants have signed wide receiver Allen Robinson, just given Daniel Jones another option, if you want to call Allen Robinson that.
And Daniel Jones has some competition there. As another good Canadian boy, Nathan Rourke, quarterback, who was a Canadian Football League star for 1 year and then has gone the NFL track. He's been signed there after being released by the Patriots.
Currently the QB4.
QB4, yes, QB4. Yep. You'll have to fight it out with that Tommy DeVito guy or whatever. Whatever that guy's name
Tommy
is.
DeVito, Drew Locke, and Daniel Jones.
Yeah. I mean, he won't the best he can hope for is number three, I think. But Nathan Rourke's got a lot of talent. Good running quarterback, good on his feet. So just another piece in New York Giants news there. Definitely, hey, they got some depth in there. I don't think Daniel Jones is secure personally in his spot. Like I do think they would look to move on from him if they can't get some more wins going.
Well, I think he's kind of in the same position as Will Levis. Like they had a chance to draft a quarterback. They didn't. They went and got the second receiver off the board. So I think that's basically them saying, this is it. Like, we've given you everything. So if he can't make it work this season, then I imagine they'll cut ties with him for next year.
Yeah.
And one last piece of news involving wide receivers. So Rashi Rice is being investigated for hitting a photographer at a nightclub in Dallas. So he was already being investigated for the multiple vehicle collision. Yeah. He's now being investigated for assault. Not looking good.
I don't think we're going to see this guy in the league again.
It's possible. You know, it's a lot, you know, one thing you can recover from, but now we got multiple things happening all at once. And I had heard that they're like going back to when he was drafted, I guess there were some concerns with his off the field behavior. So some teams, you know, moved him down the draft boards or weren't considering drafting him. So that's why he was drafted where he was. So maybe there was some truth to that. And now it's just kind of coming to light and he's just not able to make proper good decisions off the field. Doesn't have that like maturity level maybe, but this is another blow to him, which I mean, it's a blow to the Chiefs because him and Mahomes had a good rapport. Now, nothing has been confirmed either that he's going to miss any time yet, right? So like we're still right. Kind of in limbo there, but like as these things keep adding up, it does not look good for Rashi Rice.
No, I would say it's not looking great at all. I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah. But that is it for news for this week, and we'll just dive right into our episode. So today we're going to be reviewing the AFC North, their fantasy options, what we're kind of expecting from each team, and then we're going to rank our projected finishes for the AFC North. So we will start off with the Baltimore Ravens. So I'll just do a quick rundown of what their starting options are for the fantasy relevant positions, and then we'll dive in and kind of dissect them a little bit. So the Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, running backs Derrick Henry and Justice Hill, wide receivers Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, and Nelson Agholor, and tight end Mark Andrews. So where do you want to start, Mike? I'll let you pick.
Well, I'd like to start with the receiving core plus tight end. Okay. I just loop them into one. I know the big like change or news is in running back, but I'd like to start at the receiving core because obviously Zay Flowers looks like to be projected one in terms of where they want to see him and see him grow receiver wise. Him versus Mark Andrews. I'd like to begin the conversation there. Where are you sitting on who is Lamar Jackson's number one target?
Well, for me, that is just contingent on Mark Andrews' condition. I'm just looking it up here briefly. Is he expected to be back like week one?
That's a good question. I honestly assumed he was healthy.
I want to double check because I haven't heard very much. So
no, I haven't heard anything about him all off season, which can be a good thing or a bad thing. But I thought he was fine, but you're right, that injury was significant enough that it might make a difference.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to pull up here. So I guess I will try my best to find a definitive answer while I talk, but we'll see. So I'm just going to answer assuming that Mark Andrews is going to be there week one and he is good to go. He's obviously their number one target. I don't think anything's going to change there. He's going to be the guy that Lamar Jackson is throwing the ball to the most. after that, I think I go with Zay Flowers. So I guess Zay Flowers would be my number one as the wide receiver position.
That's certainly what I'm projecting as well. Like, Bateman and Anglor are fine, and they could be fine fantasy options. But I do think Flowers, with the way he played at times last year and some of the, like, deep threat he adds to that offense, I feel like he, to me, becomes the number one receiver.
Yeah. I don't know. Rashad Bateman, to me, like, they did extend him, but we just haven't seen that click between him and Jackson that we saw with Zay Flowers. No. And I think Bateman's on his second year, or going into his third year now, isn't he? With Lamar?
Third year at least, yeah.
Yeah, so he had 2022 and 2023 seasons. 15 receptions and then 32 receptions. So nothing too exciting there. Zay Flowers we saw becoming the guy for Lamar. And maybe that was helped with Mark Andrews going down. Maybe that kind of prompted that. But, I mean, he had, in his first year alone, he had 77 receptions. He had more receptions than Rashad Bateman's career in his rookie season. So, for me, it's definitely Zay Flowers. The only question mark is, what is Mark Andrews' health status?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question for sure, because that might open up the other receivers a little bit. But if I'm, like, looking at this from the fantasy lens, the health of Mark Andrews, like, is a concern. And I get what you're saying, like if he's healthy, he's that number one target. I just, for me, I'm probably drafting Zay Flowers before Mark Andrews, only because of the position. Like, I think tight ends, again, unless you have like the top three or four guys, all tight ends are essentially the same. And maybe I'm a little bit biased from my experience, but he like burned me last year with being hurt. So like,
I think you do have a little recency bias there because it impacted you directly.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was awful. Like, that was a big piece of mine that was gone, like, at a time that I really needed him. So I don't know. I guess for me, I'm also just weary about tight ends. I will admit my bias against the tight end position. I think that statistics has proven time and time again that, like, there's three or four guys, and then there's maybe two or three others that will surprise you one year, but then will disappear the next. So yes, Andrews has always been one of those, like, yes, go to, but still, if I'm sitting here being like, oh, I could draft Zay Flowers or I could draft Mark Andrews, I might lean towards Zay Flowers, being like, as a receiver, it just, for whatever reason, right now, knock on wood, they're healthier as a position. They're a little more stable. You generally have one or two receivers that will have a decent game. So yeah, I guess for me, yeah, probably recency bias, probably. But I'm quite against a lot of the guys I had last year, Josh. I'll be like completely honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't think of them fondly at all, as both football players or people.
Yeah. So I'm just looking. So he played in that AFC Championship game this season. Like, that was his first game back. He only had two receptions, though. So that doesn't really scream to me that he was fully healthy.
No.
But now I haven't heard anything since then. So I'm going to operate on the assumption that he should be back week one, full tilt, no issues. And he's good to go. So, yeah, I'm going to go Andrews, Flowers, and then probably Bateman, followed by Aguilar.
Yeah, like, I think we can agree on this. Andrews and Flowers are in a category that's a little bit different than the other two, because I think you could have Zay Flowers in your receiving core and start him most weeks and be pretty happy with that. Whereas I think Rashad Bateman, he's going to be a flex option.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Well, that kind of covers off the wide receiver and tight end room. So quarterback or running back.
Well, quarterback should be a quick conversation. I mean,
yep.
Lamar Jackson's great. if you can get him, and you and I are of similar molds. We don't draft quarterbacks, at least recently. We haven't drafted quarterbacks that high. I think I drafted a little bit higher than you, but in the past, I'm trying to remember, but I think in the past three or four drafts, our first two, three rounds were not quarterbacks. whereas everyone else in our league does pick quarterbacks. So I think you and I both miss out on these kinds of players. But like, if you can get them, if you want to go quarterback heavy, if you're one of those in one of those drafts where you draft later, you're like the 11th or 12th pick in the first round, and like all these running backs and receivers go, Lamar Jackson, I'm not going to argue with that as a first pick.
Nope. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I don't know if I would pick him, but I also wouldn't really fault someone for picking him, you know?
No.
Between probably Mahomes, Jackson, Hurts, and Allen, like, I could understand you taking any of those four as your number one. Each kind of has their own different question marks with them, but they've proven on the field that they have the talent. So if you're going to call your shot on what you believe, like any of those four as your like first quarterback off the board, I could understand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, running backs, Derrick Henry and Justice Hill.
What do you think is going to happen here with Henry? Like, do you think this is a good landing spot for him? I mean, I know I think the Ravens benefit a lot, but in terms of fantasy, where do you see Henry right now?
Yeah, I think he's going to do well. I think he's going to do well there. I think he's going to get a lot of goal line opportunities. I think it might hurt Lamar Jackson a tiny bit because he doesn't need to be the goal line guy now, because you've got Derrick Henry, who's like a moving fridge that you're trying to tackle. I mean, you give him the ball at the 2-yard line, he's probably getting in. I don't know if he'll maybe see the same volume that we saw in Tennessee just because of the pass heavy weapons that the Ravens have. But I think he'll do fine. Maybe not a top five, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's a top 12 running back this year, just because of the power behind this offense and the opportunities that he's going to get, especially near the goal line.
Yep, I agree.
And Justice Hill, just probably going to be third down guy.
Yep.
That would be my guess. All right, well, let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. So I don't know about you, but this is the one that I have probably the most question marks about.
Yeah, this is so the Cleveland, because I mean, not to bury the lead too early, but like I'm not really high on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Cleveland in this division is definitely one where I'm like, I have some negative thoughts, but they're also all question marks because I like a lot of the names on these lists individually. So I'm like, I have a lot of questions to ask about Cleveland. And I think we should start with QB because that's where most of my questions begin.
Okay. Well, I'll just do a quick run through of all the players, and then we'll start at QB. So at quarterback, we've got Deshaun Watson and Jameis Winston. We'll explain why in a second. Running backs, Nick Chubb, Jerome Ford, and Nyheim Hines. Wide receivers, Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, and Elijah Moore. And tight end, David Njoku. So with quarterback, there's two listed because we don't know which one is going to be starting.
We have no idea. And that's a big deal. With the amount of money they're paying Deshaun Watson and his absolute fall from this like real high point of his career that has happened these past couple of years. And in terms of fantasy relevance, in terms of NFL relevance, all the stuff that's been happening on and off the field, like this is the question mark, because if there was a quarterback on this team that was, I don't know, top 15, middle of the ground, quarterback, consistent, I would say a lot of things different about this Cleveland team, because I really love this receiving core and I like a lot of what they've got in the running game, like the depth they have there.
Mm-hmm.
But is Deshaun Watson playing or not? And is he going to get back to form? Because I don't like Jameis Winston at all as your backup.
No, that is a bit of a risk, a bit of a wild card there, because Jameis Winston can throw 4 touchdowns, but he can also throw 5 interceptions.
In the same like half.
Yeah, the same like half. Yeah. So that is a bit of a wild card there. And with Deshaun Watson, like, quite frankly, we saw the offense take a step forward with him off the field last year after his injury. And that was with Jacoby Brissett, who is now gone. So obviously the offense is talented enough that they can function and be a high scoring, high powered, great team. They've got a good defense backing them up, but you just need somebody consistent at the helm. Like Jacoby Brissett was not out there, you know, making the highlight reel every single play, but he wasn't turning the ball over. He was just playing game manager football, and that's all he had to do, because then the other guys on the field took care of the rest.
That's right.
You know, Njoku, Cooper, they were making moves out there after the catch. He was just making sure they got the ball, and it worked out. We didn't see that with Deshaun Watson. We saw a lot of issues, a lot of quick three and outs. So maybe that will change. We still don't even know if he's going to be healthy for week one, because there's been, like, that was kind of an assumption. And then some of the stuff that's kind of come out over the offseason has been like, oh, you know, he's expecting to be ready for training camp. And it's like, well, we already assumed he was. Like, what do you mean he's expecting to be ready?
Yes.
So there's a bit of a question mark there. And then, yeah, like you said with Jameis Winston, you know, that's not a reliable backup either. So a lot of question marks there.
Because I do think that when you have Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, I think, is a good number two. Elijah Moore is, I think, can also be like a good asset. You've got a decent tight end, and you've got, like, again, Nick Chubb has to be healthy, but a relatively good running game with some depth there that I don't hate. So the makings of a team that could really compete with the Ravens are here, and we know that defense is going to be good, but it's the quarterback. Like, they just, if Deshaun Watson was back to, you know, the stardom he was on the rise to, then this team would be right there with the Ravens. But there's so many question marks for me that it really pushes them down the list, because I'm just like, I cannot trust their quarterbacks right now.
No, you can't. And unfortunately, like, it sounds like we're not going to get an answer anytime soon. Like, it could be preseason before we really know what we're looking at in terms of that quarterback room.
Yeah. Which is tough, because, like, Amari Cooper, I think, is a great, you know, receiver one. I think he's a good option in fantasy. I think Jerry Jeudy is, like, a good option to have as, like, a flex if again, he had a quarterback around him. So those things go down if their quarterback situation is terrible. Then it becomes, you know, you can't get a lot of fantasy points on offense if you turn the ball over five or six times.
Or if you're just three and out every time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's just segue into the wide receivers then quickly. Because I think Cooper and Jeudy have a chance to maybe be like Diggs and Davis. With Cooper being the primary ball guy, and then Jerry Jeudy being the field stretcher, deep threat, you know, burn you down the sidelines because you're focusing on Amari. I think there's the potential for that development. And I think that's kind of what Denver wanted to use him for, but they didn't really have that first option to take. Like, okay, you guys have to focus on this receiver, and then Jeudy gets sprung open. It was like, well, no, you don't really have a threat, so we can focus on them all. And then, yeah, Elijah Moore is just kind of, he's there as the third option.
Again, not like with a more competent quarterback situation.
Could be valuable.
He could be valuable. And it's like, again, another like bench player that you throw in for different scenarios or matchups, but I definitely agree with you. I think Cooper can be in your receiving core every week for the most part. Again, they got to sort of the quarterbacks, but just who the player is. And then Jerry Jeudy is a good flex option, just like Gabe Davis has been, where sometimes he's going to get like a fantastic week. But they had Josh Allen. You know, the Cleveland doesn't have anyone close to that. So I'm just surprised, and I know it's a money thing because Deshaun Watson costs so much money, but they got to work out with him what's going on here, because I think they got to move on.
Yeah. Something's got to get sorted out one way or the other there. Whether they're in or out on him, they just got to make a decision, and his health needs to get clarified as well.
Yeah.
And then speaking of health, the other question mark with this team is Nick Chubb, running back room. Because if he comes back and he's able to do anything near what we've seen him do in the past, I will be blown away. And I will be extremely impressed. Because that was a terrible knee injury that he took at, I think, week two last year. And he is not exactly a young running back. He's had knee injuries before. Quite frankly, the fact that he's not already like retired blows my mind. So it seems like he's going to have a chance to come back, but what version of Nick Chubb are we getting? When are we going to have him? You know, is he back for week one? Is he back later on? I don't know. And we saw Jerome Ford. He had moments. He had very good games. He had quiet games. Naheem Hines, we've seen the same thing from him throughout the past. So ultimately, I think that's going to come down to, you know, can they establish the run? Do they have the passing game to kind of draw away from it, open it up a bit? And if Nick Chubb comes back, because if Nick Chubb comes back, he's probably going to be the only one that you're going to want, because unless there's something drastically reduced in his ability, he's probably going to get the ball a lot. If Nick Chubb's not there and it's down to Ford and Hines, it's probably a 50-50, like, hot hand. You're never really going to know who to have in your lineup.
Yeah.
So a lot of question marks there.
Yeah, and I think that's a good kind of assessment of it, because right now if Chubb can get healthy and get into a good place, and you see that coming into the season, I'm definitely high on picking him. But things really look different if they have to balance between the other two guys. So yeah, I think that definitely makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And tight end David Njoku, honestly, I think he could be their number two receiving option behind Cooper.
He could. Yeah, if they sort out that quarterback scenario, he could be very valuable.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is he was not that valuable with Watson. He was very valuable with Jacoby Brissett. So it all comes down to the quarterback play for Njoku, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So for quarterbacks, we've got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, running backs Najee Harris and Jalen Warren, wide receivers George Pickens, Van Jefferson, and Roman Wilson, and tight end Pat Freiermuth.
So, I'm not high on this team.
No, I'm not either.
It starts
at quarterback.
Quarterback, yeah. Like, what the heck are you doing here? Like, I still don't agree with Russell Wilson starting over Justin Fields. I understand why you would be looking at Russell Wilson and saying, we got to have another piece here. And Justin Fields is probably hungry to prove himself. He's still quite young. But I think with their quarterback situation being so unbalanced, it's really hard for me to look at the rest of this offense and say, yeah, there's players I feel comfortable picking.
Yeah. I don't really feel comfortable with anybody, really. Obviously I don't feel comfortable with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, because we don't know if either of them will both play we don't know if Justin Fields will ever set foot on the field, really, because Russell Wilson is technically the starter right now.
Yeah.
We don't know if Russell Wilson will last the full season. We don't know if it's going to be some weird back and forth, because we've seen teams doing that lately. And those question marks. And I mean, really, even if I knew, okay, Russell Wilson's going to be the guy all season, well, okay, that brings in some question marks for the wide receiver core, because we haven't seen the elite Russell Wilson of the past. We've seen whatever we got there in Denver.
Yeah.
Justin Fields, you know, he had, what, two flash games with DJ Moore last year, and that was about it. I liked the Chicago Bears wide receiver core better than this one, honestly, with DJ Moore there, and he still couldn't really capitalize on that. So just a lot of question marks. And then the wide receiver room, like George Pickens, Van Jefferson, and a rookie in Roman Wilson. Maybe Wilson can be great. I don't know. We haven't seen him. George Pickens hasn't really been able to develop anything yet. And Van Jefferson, same thing.
No. Yeah, I don't see it. Like, even like you're saying, like, this is one of those teams where, oh, maybe you can get something out of the running back. But I just feel like the offense, to me, I just don't see it clicking yet. You've got to have a relatively decent run, working offense that gets some progress to even have a running game that's worth looking at for fantasy. Because if you're just going to run the ball all the time, people are going to pick up on that. But I don't like this receiving core. I don't think there's anything too interesting, just because the quarterback is not, it's just not there for me. Maybe either Wilson or Fields has like a bounce back year, because Fields can at least hurt you with your legs. He can kind of run around, do a bunch of things. But we, like you said, we don't even know if he's going to start a single game or even play a single snap. We don't know. So yeah, it's too risky for me.
Yeah. And the running back room on its own is also a question mark, because we saw last year, clearly they don't have a lot of faith in Najee Harris. Was it last year that he had the foot injury, or was that the year before? I'm just trying to remember now.
Harris?
Yeah.
Might have been the year before. I thought he played most of last year, but I mean, had some time split. Yeah. No, actually, maybe he was hurt this year. Actually, I think he might have gotten hurt this year.
So either way, Jalen Warren was getting a lot of playing time, and then this offseason they haven't they declined to pick up Najee Harris's fifth year option. So that means they don't see the future being there with him.
Yes, yeah.
which is not a good sign. But then it's still a question mark of, okay, well, who's going to be their guy this year? Is it Harris or Warren? Is it going to be both? And that just brings a huge question mark into the run game and what you're going to try to get for fantasy. So neither option really inspires confidence there.
With an expiring contract, I wouldn't be too surprised if he became a trade target. Like, if things go poorly for Pittsburgh, then they might look to move him.
That's also possible, yeah. No, could happen, especially if they like what they're getting with Jaylen Warren. But again, just another question mark.
And, you know, smart managers don't let players walk. So I think they would be looking at the scenario, being like, we might be able to move him at the trade deadline and get a pick or something out of him.
Maybe. Yeah.
But that's just the only thing I'm thinking of is like, well, if they're not extending the contract, then I feel like there's that potential. You know how injuries are in the NFL. Someone's going to need a running back at some point in time. He could become a trade target, which might change his value if he gets moved out of Pittsburgh. But again, that's a big if.
Yeah, yeah. And then at tight end, we've got Pat Freiermuth, who we've seen be great and we've seen do nothing. So he's a wild card, unfortunately, because we don't know what kind of quarterback play we're getting. And we don't know if these quarterbacks are going to click with Pat Freiermuth or not.
Yeah.
All right, let's dive into our fourth and final team, the Cincinnati Bengals. So at quarterback, Joe Burrow, running back, Zach Moss, Chase Brown, wide receivers, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Trenton Irwin, and tight end, Mike Gesicki. So I want to start in the wide receiver room. Because we've got Jamar Chase, who's an established elite option, despite your difficulties with him last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, he definitely had a better end to the... Like, the middle part of the season was rough, the beginning was rough, but he had a better end to his season, yeah.
Yeah. Trenton Irwin, not really anything going on there. They did draft Jermaine Burton, but he's not listed as one of their top three. Tyler Boyd is gone now, so Trenton Irwin, I guess, would be their number three. I don't know if he'll serve the same role that Tyler Boyd did, if he'll be as valuable or not. And that leaves T. Higgins as the question mark, because he's on a franchise tag, but he hasn't signed it, and he's demanded a trade. So we don't know if he's actually going to be there or not.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And he, you know, depending upon where he goes, my thoughts on him may shift. Because right now, he's in Chase's shadow. He will not be targeted over Chase. If Joe Burrow can have a bounce back year, can be healthy, can be the Joe Burrow we believe he can be, then I do see value in either of those receivers because he can spread the ball around, he can do things. But Chase is obviously number one. Depending where Higgins goes, he could become the number one on a team. And I know this will never happen because of weird money complications and everything sucks. But Higgins to the Bills, for example, changes my view of someone like Higgins. So where he goes and what happens with him, that's kind of a wait and see for me. Right now, he's, you know, okay. I wouldn't, you know, if I drafted him or had him on team, I wouldn't be looking at him as my top two wide receivers. Like, I would be looking at him as like a flex, maybe even depth. I'm a little less high on him as other people are. He'd be kind of a depth option for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't really think we need to talk too much about Joe Burrow. He's healthy right now. As long as that stays the same, he's going to be good for fantasy.
He has to stay healthy. That's the number one thing, definitely.
Yeah, he has to stay healthy. Outside of that, he's fine. Tight end, Mike Gesicki. They don't really use their tight ends that much.
I don't think they've ever used the tight end.
very, very rarely.
They just don't. Even when Burrow's like clicking, this team was always about the running game with formerly Joe Mixon, and then like Chase, Higgins, Boyd, like receivers, and Joe Burrow. Like, you barely heard the tight end's name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is it now? This is their third one in 3 years.
Yeah.
3 and 4. Cause they had, who was it? Irv Smith. And they had, what was his name last year? I can picture his face.
have no idea.
Oh, it's escaping my mind.
that's how little they
Hayden Hurst, they that's his them. Name. Hayden Hurst. Yes, they had Hayden Hurst, they had Irv Smith Jr., and now they're on to Mike Gesicki. So they keep bringing in guys who have been on other teams, and then they don't use them, and then they get rid of them.
Yeah.
So I don't really have high expectations for Mike Gesicki personally. I'm not going to be looking at Mike Gesicki. I don't know if you feel any different, but
no, I don't think I'm looking at him at all. This is just not a team that uses the tight end.
No, which is like unfortunate because it's such a high powered offense.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, but even in terms of like this division, obviously Mark Andrews is number one. I'm picking Njoku too before I'm picking Gesicki. And I don't even think him and Pat Freiermuth, I'm like, that is, I'm picking them because there's literally no one left and I need a tight end and it's the final pick of the draft.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, let's dive into the running back. So we've got Zach Moss and Chase Brown.
Yeah, that's interesting. This will be an interesting one because Moss steps into kind of big shoes with Mixon and what they were doing there. But Moss obviously showed flashes with the Colts of being able to handle that, which he never did in Buffalo because they don't use running backs. So it's interesting to me. It's interesting. Like Moss has some potential here to really take control of that running back room.
Yeah. This could work out very well and very cheap for the Bengals, or this could go sideways and we don't have the consistent Moss, you know, like last year was just a flash in the pan. He caught lightning in a bottle. It worked out well. And now this year is completely different because it's a different team. Different offense. We'll see. If he's able to continue doing what he did last year, though, that is huge for them because Joe Mixon struggled last year. He still did well, but he was fighting to run last year. So if they can if they can continue improving on that run game and Zach Moss is able to capitalize on that, that takes some pressure off Joe Burrow, opens up the passing game like we talked about before. So that could turn out very well, and Zach Moss could be very productive for fantasy, but there's no guarantee there. So that's going to be a bit of a wild card, and you're just going to have to decide what you believe in Zach Moss. You know, does he have the talent to replicate last year, or is last year a one-off? And you'll probably get him relatively cheaper in the draft. You'll probably get him in like the fourth or fifth round, so you can take your swing on him there, but that's also the same kind of area in the draft where you're getting a diamond in the rough. Like 9 out of 10 of the guys that you draft in there in the running back room are not going to pan out. You know,
that's where you
get your Miles Sanders and your Chase Browns, who's also on this team. It just doesn't really work out. Unfortunately, your Damian Pierce's, this is that kind of area. And there's a reason that they're dropping there because of the question. And so, Mike, I don't know if you have any other thoughts on the Bengals before we go into ranking this division?
No, I mean, I think let's go ahead and rank it.
Okay. So I have got the Ravens finishing number one in the division, followed by the Bengals, and then the Browns and the Steelers.
Yeah, I've got the Ravens one, same as you, Bengals, Browns, Steelers, same order. Now, with a little asterisk, because I think if the quarterback situation was different in Cleveland, I actually would put them number two because I like their offense right now a little bit better for the variety and depth they have. And because of Joe Burrow, I'm not 100% sure on his health, but because of their quarterback room, they're pushed down to three and anyone's better than the Steelers. So yeah, I've got the same order. Like that's how I think they're going to finish. And in terms of like fantasy relevant players, I'm picking Ravens, then Bengals, then Browns, and then Steelers if I absolutely have to.
Yeah, that's fair. I kind of have an asterisk with the Browns too, because if I know what the running back room and the quarterback room is going to look like, and it seems like it is going to be high flying, then I also would probably bump them up above the Bengals. And a decisive factor there is just the Browns defense.
Yeah, that's a solid defense.
Yeah, their defense is very scary, able to keep their offense on the field a lot longer because they're getting the other team's offense off the field.
Yeah.
And then that kind of has a trickle effect, you know, of especially if Nick Chubb is back and he's healthy and he's kind of back to what we've seen before, you get a lead, your defense helps you keep it, running back ices the game out. So that can be huge for them. Like they did well last year, even despite everything going on with the quarterback room. So they certainly have the potential to finish at number two again. And I think that's going to, the three factors there between who finishes second and third between the Bengals and the Browns are going to be what's going on with the Browns quarterback room, what's going on with the Browns running back room, and is Joe Burrow healthy?
Yep. Agreed.
All right. Well, that was a pretty straightforward division for us to start off with. Just ease right into it. Not too much controversy between you and me. Pretty much an agreement for most of it, I think.
That's a pretty easy division to begin with. But the order as I like to go in, north, south, east, west, just makes sense to me.
All right. Well, then we will dive into the AFC South for our next episode. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Take care and stay safe.